Somebody got a victory? Answer prayer? Something God's done? Amen. He's been married 44 years. Isn't that a landmark right there? Man, 44 years. Asked him what the secret was. He said he stays out of her stuff and she stays out of his stuff. Ain't that something? Well, I'm telling you. Well, let's lift up Pastor right now and just, from what I've understood, Pastor Charlie gone down there and said he was really doing good. So we're just going to keep for a speedy recovery. Amen. So, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Thank you for just this prayer that we can have for the pastor, for our day. Thank you for the sunshine and all the things that you've done in our lives, and we give you all the praise for it. Thank you for balancing in the pastor's life and just equilibrium and that part of the back of his brain right now for healing and speedy recovery in Jesus' mighty name. Help him just sense your presence right now as he's thinking about the church. He's thinking about the people here. And I know what it's like when he's a true shepherd and he's thinking about us. And now we're thinking about him. So, Lord, intervene and just be a blessing in his life today in Jesus' name. And we all say it? Amen. Now, I'm going to kind of go through some things. There's really kind of a lot of stuff that kind of God was boiling up inside me, but I remember years ago, I just got credentialed, licensed with the state, North Carolina, as a mental health worker, and about 98. And then 9/11 came. Almost everybody knows where you were on 9/11. And I saw the pictures. They said I was down there in Green Street Center. Green Street Center was on Washington Street behind the courthouse. And they said, turn the TV on. And I turned the TV on, and it was just unbelievable. I mean, the Twin Towers. I've always wanted to go to the Twin Towers. I didn't make it. I never made it to the Twin Towers. But I kind of wish I had now. I mean, after that happened, I went to the Sears Tower. I said, I'm going to go to the Sears Tower. I've been in that one. That was actually one of the targets, too. So I saw just absolute chaos. The looks on people's faces as they were coming out, just the ashes and stuff and the rescue workers. Stunned. Absolutely stunned. What did we do? It was just a few days later, they were wanting what they call disaster mental health workers to go up there. They asked me, do you want to go up there as a disaster mental health worker? And I remember, I'm a newbie. I just got licensed here. I had 300 hours of this and 270 some hours of that, supervision and all that. But are you ever really ready? Are you ever really ready for something like that? You know what I'm saying? Now, 90,000 people have been impacted by what's happened in Western North Carolina. When I look at scenes of Burnsville, I've only been to Burnsville one time, but horrific. Marshall, little town of 800. Chimney Rock, a destination that you got to go at least like once every year or two. It's just a place you go to, A friend of mine had a realtor's real. He was David Calder. I think he was one of the number one realtors in Henderson County and up in that neck of the woods. And he had a fabulous office there. I mean, it was gorgeous. It was one of those arts and craft type with the pediments, and it was. And he actually had it bolted into the rock down below. He had it drilled and bolted into the rock. But you know what? When that water came down, bigger boulders came and dislodged those boulders. Unbelievable. Now, we used to sing a song, It's an old Pentecostal song. I'm anchored in Jesus. I fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus. See? The storms of life I'll brave. Oh, I've anchored in Jesus. Anybody heard that before? For he has power to save. I've anchored in the rock of ages. What that tells me is you could be rock, you could be anchored in the best rock in Chimney Rock. But you know what? If you're not anchored, if your life is not anchored in Jesus, the storms of life are going to come. Now, you know what he said over there? Most of you know, Luke 17, Matthew 24. These are Jesus talking about. He said, when will these days come that you're going to, you know, when the Son of Man, and Jesus, what did Jesus say? Give me some feedback. What did he say, Lynn? Wars. Are we hearing wars today? Rumors of wars? Are we hearing rumors of wars? Pestilence? Are we hearing about famine? Now, I don't know if the Bible had a name for hurricanes, but through the waters, all this good stuff, right? We knew there was a flood. Anybody read the Bible knew there was a flood. And then all this stuff comes down. So, he says, men's heart will faint. Didn't it say that? Men's heart will faint for fear of what's coming on the earth. Now, as an addiction counselor, I hear this all the time. People come in. One of the reasons why, and this is a sign of addiction, is if you drink to relieve stress. That's not social drinking, okay? If you're sitting here saying, oh, man, I got through this bad week, man, I got to have a drink. Why are you smiling? You been there?
I'm just saying, social, there ain't nothing
social. I know, but people call it that. You know, it's, I know. That's another time. That's another time. But, you see, but if you're having to sit here and see, Wednesday's like hump day. See, people live for the weekend. I can't wait to Friday, man. I made it through the week, you know. And so go in and vibe, you know what I'm saying? Got to go drink.
Happy hour.
That's, you got it? Look at that. When is that? 5 to 7? 4 to 6? I don't. You mentioned it. There you go. I know. It's like Saturday night. Then they, you know, hungover Sunday morning. I don't know if I can make it to church or not. You know, it's just too, you know, it's like, oh my, how do you do that? How do you go out and just live like the devil on Saturday night and come to church on Sunday? I don't know. Reminds me of that old Johnny Cash song, you know, Sunday morning. It's like, oh boy. Go ahead. That's a sign of addiction, self-medicating. You got it. See, that's where I would head with it. They don't realize they're really doing it, but that's what they're doing. That's like it's their drug. And, of course, alcohol is a drug, but it's that's their medicine, right? So, men's hearts fail them for what's coming on earth. Now, I can't find a biblical word for stress except for fear. Fear. What? How many fears are there? Fear nots in the Bible.
365.
Give her a gold star. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I've heard that several places, but that's right. So, always time. Anytime an angel came, fear not. I mean, it's in. You know, we fear. Now, I've taken some of the trainings of disaster relief and stuff like that. Dr. Jerry Miller, I kind of pulled out some of the things that came in the training. Yeah.
Disaster relief?
Yeah.
Paula Roth had mentioned about crisis fatigue.
Well, you're getting ahead of me, girl. Okay.
Yeah.
I call it compassion fatigue. You got to take care of yourself. Can you draw us? I made her Vanna White today. Okay, can you draw a stool, just a round stool with three legs, three pegs?
I hope so.
Huh? There you go. One, two, three. Yeah. I'm not quite the artist, so I wanted her to do it. Now, when you look at self-care, there's three elements to that. This kind of goes into psychology with Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You know, we all need food, shelter, and stuff. Put up diet. Okay, that's one leg. I was like addicted to the stories that came out. Have you been going through Facebook and some of the, you know, the little rescue of the boy Jesus, you know, cried out to Jesus, 7-year-old. His mother was 5 hours in the water. Jesus was speaking to her, telling her to let go. If you stay on these twigs and branches, you're going to die. It's like unbelievable. The stories that's going to come out of this are going to be unbelievable. Then I read another one. The helicopter came on Saturday, just a privateer rescued a couple that were up there. All they had were two bottles of water and a bag of potato chips. And she said, man, the last food you want when you only have two bottles of water is salted potato chips. You know what I'm saying? And the guy flies up there, lets his boy out, gets the woman, brings her back, and then I don't know what happened with the assistant fire chief, but he told me he was going to arrest him if he went back. I'll let that play out with the authorities. But, you know, it's one story after another. Your husband, his family, Craigville, 11 people lost in that one family. They call it Craigsville. Craigtown. Unbelievable. The stories that come out of that. Now, there are phases, okay? And we're going to get to those, but you got to have some food. You know what I mean? Now, you don't have to be a prepper, but I think as a Bible believing, you preponderance of Scripture, you need to be a biblical prepper. I'm not talking about being on these prep sites, but even the government says you should have a 30-day supply of food. You know what I'm saying? Now, yeah, go ahead.
And I think you're probably heading in that way, but you talk about being anchored in the rock.
Yes.
So, you got a 30-day supply of food, and it gets washed down the river for the rest of your house.
Well, we're going to go there, Lebo. We're going to talk about that. Well, we're going to talk about that, because I saw a sign. I was headed to Lowe's. There was a truck there. He had a decal in the back, and it said, "Life is a mess," and it had a cross. Underneath it, it said, "I know a guy." You know, okay, Dr. Jerry Miller starts out. She said, when life's throwing you a mess, you do the best that you can. I think, going to his question, we're co-laborers with God. We have to do our part. David had to go get some smooth stones to throw at Goliath. I mean, I think where we failed, you know, even as a locality, is we trust the government. We are looking to FEMA. We're looking to the state to save us. And that's what in Marxism and stuff that they're trying to steer us in, the state becomes God. Now, we got to trust God to rock. You see what I mean? But we have to prepare. I don't see anything wrong. Now, look at this. This is what they call, huh? Get out of Dodge quick bag. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Like he said, you're at home. You You get you a bag, you get something like this, you throw it on, you say, honey, the water's filling up. Let's get out of here. Let's head to high ground. You got a pack. You see what I'm saying? I can't get out. Okay. And so you keep some supplies in there. I don't see anything wrong, so I'm trusting God. Here's some ready meals here. No, it's not chips. And this is, water. You can't go long without water. This is, you can put that in there in a stream, and it's called sweet water. So I've got one of those. And if you don't want that, then you can get some of these life straws. These are savers right there. You can get these. You know what I'm saying? You can have those right there and just suck water out of a creek or something like that. I love these things. And Nutrient Survival, I think, see, that's who's behind this. Nutrient Survival, that's my get out of Dodge bag. And I love eggs. And so these are little packets. You just add water to them, and you can get these eggs. And they were out of these for the longest time. Powdered vitamin egg blend. Tasty. These Nutrient Survival was started by former Navy SEALs. So you're supporting a former military when they do that. So, but it's tasty food, too. You know what I'm saying? And then they had this right over there at Flea Town. I couldn't believe it. I bought up some of that. You know what I'm saying? So we got to do our part, right? I remember what did God tell Moses? He said, get the people moving. He said, what am I going to do? He said, what's in your hand? Now, see, what's in your hand? You see? You can go get these things. So these are just a few things that I've got on there. This is, again, if I want to do something, get my platypus, fill that up with water, it's a backpack, strap it on. Honey, let's get out of Dodge. Let's head up high ground. I got water. Now, in there, if you get one of these jugs like this filled with water, which I've got some of them, they're stackable, and I put a little bleach water in there, and a little bleach water, and then you pour it out to clean it. So you do that, and then you get in there. So you have some water on hand. And, you know, you can always find a good old Army canteen somewhere, right? You can always get an Army canteen and fill it up and kind of go from there. Does that make sense? Now, I'm not trusted in me. But, you know, when Jesus looked around to the multitudes, he said, what do we have here? What did they have? Huh? A few loaves of bread and some fish? He said, bring it up here. They had something. So if I come up there and I bring this up there, you can multiply it. Right? And he fed 5,000. So we're not trusted in this, but you're doing your due diligence. When faced with a mess, you do your best. An old Keith Green song, you do your best, pray that it's blessed, and he'll take care of the rest. Yes, he will. He'll take care of the rest. We got to do our part. And I think a lot of times we're just looking for the federal dollars to flow in, looking for FEMA to save us, looking for this person or the state. We need to take the bull by the horns ourselves, right? Now, diet, see, when you go to self-care, diet's important. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to get off on the standard American diet, but it's standard American diet, sad. It's pretty sad. Fast food. I'm not going to step on any toes today about that. Okay, put up the next one there, Vanna. Exercise. Exercise. Now, it's up to you to stay in shape. Do you know a lot of those people up there? That one guy had to hike down the mountain, a 20-minute hike down the mountain, and then they hooked him on ropes and pulled him across the river. Imagine all the branches hitting him and stuff. You should do your best to try to stay in shape.
There you go.
Mary? Let's see if he can do it. Yeah. Yeah, that's a challenge these days, right? Yeah. No, I think, see, the people up there that's really hurt the most are people who need medicine. People with you know, metformin has to be refrigerated. They don't have that. I mean, they're going to be some of the quickest fatalities in something like that. And so it behooves us. Is that a good word? Behooves us to take care of ourselves. Now, back the first year, I was 27 pounds heavier. I had an A1C of about 7.2. Doctors want me to put on medicine. I told Dr. Washburn over here, spend down family printing. No. He didn't like that. Doctors are just trained to give you pills, medicine. You know, pill for every ill. And I said, I'm a health professor. I said, you're supposed to talk to me about diet and exercise first. So I got on, I kept hearing this on the radio about the PhD weight loss. Dr. Ashley Lucas up there. She's in Lake Norman, Charlotte, Greenville, Asheville, Fletcher, Arden. And I said, okay, I'm going to contact them. So I got on their plan, met with their counselors. They got these coaches. Boy, Rachel was hard on me. Oof. They were tough. I mean, when you've had years of an eating style and now all of a sudden you have to adapt and change. But as a believer, as a Christian, it's all about change. If we're not changing, something wrong. I mean, that's how you get religious. You get settled in your lees, the Bible says. Right? So I go up there and I meet with them once a week. They'd weigh me in. You've been cheating today, ain't you? When they weigh you, they can tell. They check your body mass, your fat, your muscle mass, all that stuff. They check it all. But they want you losing about 2 to 3, 4 pounds a week. They want it gradual, ease. I went back about four months later, went in there, got another check. My A1C was like 5.2. That's good. Right. Dr. Washburn didn't even face me then. Had one of the nurses or people, the staff, tell me, just keep taking the medicine you're taking. I said, yeah. Now, I did find a natural. It's berberine. If you struggle with diabetes, you can take some berberine. That's pretty good stuff. So I've taken berberine. But you know what? It's up to me to be physically fit in a time of problems like that. You know what I'm saying? You have to move. Anything that's not moving, what happens to it? A house never lived in is going to fall in. Car never driven. Probably ask George out there. I mean, if you got a tractor, we used to have these old tractors, and if they haven't been started for a long time, they'll seize up. Pistons will seize up in them, you know. You'd have to go in there and take off the head, pour oil down there, let it kind of, you know, Marvel Mystery Oil or something like that, and get that thing moving, see? It's the same with us. We got to be ready. When God calls us to do something, I was in China, and we missed a train. I was in Beijing, China. I missed a train, and I had a Hartman luggage. I had it strapped across like this, bunch of weight. And I ran. I was Jesus. I can't make it. Not my own power. They had me run about 2 miles. I mean, at a dead run with full luggage, trying to catch a train in Beijing, China. I don't know what it would have been if I missed that train, but boy. I mean, you got to be, I don't know how I did it. God helped me, but I stayed as physically fit as I possibly could. Okay, Fanna, sleep. Diet, exercise, and sleep, rest. Now, I asked my clients, I said, what's the average amount of sleep that you get? And they'll say, about 4 hours. Now, what's the recommended number of hours of sleep?
Eight.
How many people are losing sleep because of insomnia, can't sleep, they're stressed out, you know what I mean? Then we go to the doctor. He puts us on anti-anxiety medication, Klonopin, Ativan, Xanax, Valium. Americans are addicted to it. We are. Hey, there you go, ladies. Well, I read a thing on that. They said don't, because I always believed in them power naps, you know, but I do pretty good with it. But you shouldn't sleep over about 10 or 15 minutes, your power naps, because it'll mess up your sleep cycles. But I have people, they drink because they can't sleep. Now, that's the worst thing you can do because there's three sleep cycles. You know, the REM sleep is the rapid eye movement. And alcohol won't let you get into REM sleep. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you'll get dehydrated.
And, yeah. You know, oh, it dehydrates you.
The bathroom, and it's a vicious cycle.
It is. It's
the devil's water.
It's right. It's the devil's water. It's a diuretic. It's a diuretic. You know, it's like coffee. You drink two cans of beer, you got a bathroom.
Yeah,
okay.
It's literally called spirits. I mean, yeah, it's not called spirits.
Well, you go up to Colonial Williamsburg. I've been there where George Washington, they call them spirits sold here. Well, what kind of spirits?
Store names in South Carolina.
Yeah, the one that got me, and the name of these bars, chances are. Silver Bullet. The one that got me was on the square in Shelby called Ichabod's. It burned down, they rebuilt it, and then it went out. You know what, Ichabod? You ever get icky? Ooh, that felt icky. That comes from the Bible. When the Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant. And he came back and he fell over, and the firstborn of the children called him Ichabod. The only Ichabod I knew was Ichabod Crane. He had no head. So Ichabod. And you know what the word Ichabod means? What does it mean?
The glory has departed.
The glory of God has departed. So I'm going to go into a place, drink kamikazes. You know what kamikazes are? It's a drink, but there were suicide pilots and, you know, inflicted a lot of injury on American aircraft, naval stuff. I'm going to go in there and I'm going to drink kamikazes or Black Russians. Or something on a beach. And all this kind of stuff. In a place where the glory of God has departed. And I wonder why bad things happen. Hello. Time to wake up, smell the coffee, huh?
I don't know whether to laugh or cry.
I know, it's so sad.
It's the truth.
It's the truth. So, you know, I don't know. What were we going to face? I mean, I would have never thought we'd be here 2 weeks after. I mean, I came out. I had a Friday appointment. I got up on that Friday. My wife said, "Are you going to have group today?" And I said, "Yeah, guess so." I opened the front door. It looked like the Wizard of Oz. It looked like a Wizard of Oz scene when the tornado hit, and Dorothy's sitting on her bed and she's seeing all this debris and the witch come by. I opened the door. Branches were going horizontal past my house. I got a solid house, but it was creaking and it making noise. And I said, "Whoa!" I said, "I don't think I'm going to have group this morning." I had even had a client, he had a 1 o'clock appointment, and he was going to plan on coming. He got some way in there and turned back. I said, "No, we ain't going anywhere today. It's bad out there." Is it bad? My wife said. I said, yeah, it's bad. I've not seen it this bad. You know what I'm saying? I never would have thought that. So let's go phase one. Just give me a, just go up there. Phase one. Okay. The warning. Put up warning. No, just start a new column there.
Is it number two?
No, this one.
And what are we saying?
Warning.
Warning. Okay.
I mean, God always warns us, doesn't he? He warns us. He warned me. He said, hey, blood sugar's up. Now it's up to me to take the bull by the horns and do something about it, you know? Co-labor with him. What do you want me to do, Jesus? Got to fix this thing. Warning. We got warnings, did we? Come on. But we knew something was coming. We knew there was a hurricane coming, didn't we? We knew. And we kind of assumed, just another tropical storm. It's going to dissipate. It's going to, you know. They said it was a 60-mile vortex, like a 60-mile tornado came through. 60 miles, unheard of. They call it the storm of the century, storm of the thousand years. I don't know. It's going to go down in history books.
Storm,
right there. What do we hear? What do we, biblical? I mean, it's like, you know what I mean? Somebody called it the Pompeii of mud. Huh? Pompeii of mud. Mudslides. People lost their whole homes. It's just, I don't know. So we were warned. God always warns us. When something's about to happen, he'll warn us. He'll let us know. Wow.
And I called her a week or two ago and said, do you remember when you said to us that in October we would have trouble with water? And she said, wow, you cannot believe the Lord. I was just getting a tap that I don't hear from God.
Yeah.
I said, honey, you hear from God. And she said, thank you. And we hung up.
God, see, God will use people to warn you. He'll warn you through scripture. He's got all kinds of ways. But we were warned, but what did we do with that warning? Oh, it won't be that bad. Oh, yeah, going to get a lot of rain. Okay.
For 35 years. And we had some direct,
real loud, real loud.
We had some direct hits. You duct tape your glass doors and rock on or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of card playing, but this was big.
Well, we didn't have any idea.
It was big.
I mean, we underestimated it for the most part.
Yeah. Kind of like, can I say?
Yeah, okay. There's a lot of conjecture. I'm not going to go there, but
I'll tell you something I've read too. That they said on October 27th, that same day, that's the start, the day that they call it the Star of Jacob, came into view. It has not been here for thousands of years.
That's my birthday,
and they said it would not be back until for like I think it's like 80,000 years.
Yeah.
But a lot of your people that study prophecy, they believe it's the Star of Jacob's trouble.
Wow. We were warned. What's it say? Earthquakes, rumors of wars. See, men's hearts failing them. We were warned. See what I'm saying? I mean, you don't go out on the day a picnic or anything without some food, some water, some sanitation type things, don't you? I mean, come on, don't you? I mean, if we're going to go out and do something, we prepare. I didn't bring my little hassock. You know what sort of hassock is? It's a little toilet. You know how important a little portable toilet is when the stools don't flush? Go see what the Mission Memorial nurses were having to do when they couldn't use sanitation up there. Yeah, we won't go there either. Okay, so the warning comes. Then Number two, underneath that, threat. Oh, yeah, under warning. There you go. Threat. Okay? That's the threat. So what was the threat? We got warned. The threat? People thought a little rain. Now, most insurance companies do not cover mudslides. Do you realize that? If FEMA calls it a mudslide, you just lost your house. I talked to a realtor up there, $1.2 million homes all over the place up there in Lake Lure areas, you know, gone. House is gone. People lost everything, you see. But again, he says, with what? Food and raiment, therewith be content. Isn't that right? That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be content. People came out and said, hey, house is gone, but I'm alive. Thank you, Jesus. You know, be anxious for nothing. That's about the closest word I can get. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for a little bit. No, be anxious for nothing. That's a high bill to go, but be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by what? Prayer and supplication is really a type of prayer where you pour out your heart to God. Like grandma's praying over you when you're sick. I mean, supplication. It isn't just one little quick prayer. With prayer and supplication, with what? With thanksgiving. Think thanks all the time. Let your requests be made known to God. And what will happen? And the peace of God, which what? Surpasses all comprehension. You can't even imagine it. Shall what? Shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's what we got to keep. Be anxious for nothing. Don't be stressed about that. See? You do your best. You pray that it's blessed. God takes care of the rest. Right? There you go. Okay. So the threat comes, but we underestimated the threat. These are phases. Then three, impact. Impact, number three. Then it hits. Now we're all shocked. Were you shocked when you got out and started? You couldn't get out your drive. We couldn't get out either way. Trees everywhere. I mean, it was like, huh? My neighbor wanted to go play pickleball. You're not going to play pickleball today. Yeah. What is this? Now, we had a generator 3 years ago. We put in a whole house generator. I got a Cummins. I like them. But it started up. Vroom. I get it serviced twice a year. Vroom. Took off. Okay? There was only one other house on our street that had a generator. Another one had one, but it broke down. So we were making coffee, hot coffee. You'd be surprised how you miss hot coffee. Yes. So we were making hot, neighbors were coming over. We were making hot coffee. We're putting them in those thermoses and stuff and taking them back, you know, like that. People were bringing food over, putting it in our freezer, stuff that was going bad, you know, to save that, because that's terrible when you lose, you know, Alaskan salmon and stuff that you got in there. Bet Mike's got a lot of meat in his freezer, don't you, Mike? Yeah. But so we were kind of helping out right there and stuff like that and doing stuff just locally on our street, helping people out. Do what you can. Now, generators aren't cheap, but I felt like I got to do my best. You're responsible for what you got. If you can do it, you should do it. You know what I mean? So we did it. But the impact hits. We're shocked. See, we were warned. The threat came. Boom. Now it hits. Number four. Now some of these overlap from here on. Four is inventory. Now we take inventory. Did you take inventory?
That's a four. It's not an IV. Or it might be an IV.
No.
Literal IV.
No.
Four.
No. I took inventory. Hey, this thing ain't working. No service. What's this? I've not had no service in a long time, right? Wi-Fi doesn't work. Yeah, I actually liked it. But you know what I'm saying is, this is kind of our lifeline to talk to people. I had people down in Florida before that hurricane hit. I got a nephew and somebody down there, and they were calling up here because they heard all the things. Are you alive, Jeff? Are you alive? You know, because they heard all the stuff. I don't know if they're hearing on the news. But you can't contact your friends and loved ones, people like that, you know. Computers, down. Gone. Inventory. I'd gone around the house. A tree hit my business over there on Main Street. You know what I'm saying? But you know the way, I was shocked. I couldn't believe this big pecan tree come down, across my fence, hit the corner of my house. But I went up to the front door, and there was a business card in there from a tree service guy. Can you imagine all the trees down, and he puts a card in there like he's wanting business? I called him. I said, dang, he's coming up there doing that. I called him. He said, I'll be there in 20 minutes. I said, 20 minutes? Good. I said, when will you get it off my house? Because, you know, it's important to get that tree off of your house. You know what I'm saying? It was spitting rain that next day a little bit. I thought, if it rains, then that makes everything heavier. And he said, I'll come tomorrow and get it off. I said, tomorrow? Wow, you're hired. I didn't even quibble over the cost. I said, we're going to do this. You know what I'm saying? So, that was God. You know what I mean? You just kind of go with the flow. They came out. They removed it. I about got it all back together and fixed and everything like that. But you know what? I'm fortunate. It was covered under insurance. They'll pay for that. But I was at the Farm Bureau. You know how many people came in there saying, I've got three trees in my front yard. And they were like, it was like a recording. We don't pay for trees that fall in your yard. If it don't hit a building, we ain't paying. It was like a recording. What's it cost to clean up a tree, big tree, 60-foot tree? Not a lot of money? Yeah. I've got some of the quotes. $3,000. Mm-hmm. Big old pine tree. 3,000. And then they fall. It depends on where it's at, too. Get it followed away from your house. You got three big trees in the yard. Could cost you 10 grand. You know what you should do right now? Yeah, you should get a good tree guy out there and start looking at any tree that could hit your house or jeopardize any of that stuff. Take her down now because it'll cost you a lot less now than later. See what I mean? We're preppers in that sense. We got to be prepared. We've got to do our due diligence. Does this make sense? Now, I don't know. Just real quickly. Rescue. We're in the rescue phase right now. Probably number five, rescue. We've been in that right now for a while. Then the remedy, we haven't gotten there yet. We're still in the rescue. Six is remedy. Six is remedy. Okay? We're still trying to figure out the remedy, what we need to do. How are we going to move? Are we going to move the river over from Chimney Rock where it was? Are we going to do this? Are we going to rebuild Chimney Rock or not? Okay, and then the last one is recovery. Seven is recovery. These are the phases. We're still in the rescue. These kind of overlap a little bit, and we're still trying to figure out the remedy. It's still almost like shock and awe. People still haven't come up to real awe that Chimney Rock's not there anymore. Bat Cave isn't there anymore. It's going to change. This whole area is going to change. See what I mean? Our hearts are not going to fail, right, for fear of what's coming on here. We're not going to do that, right? We're going to keep our hands in the hand of the man. We're going to be anchored in the rock of ages. Amen? Amen.
I can tell you a little story when I was real sick, but the doctor's calling leukemia, which it was not. And I got so sick that I had to go to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Presence, but I just had such a strong presence.
And I believe that, Mrs., I am with you. And in those times of danger and hurt, that his presence can be so real that you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's fine. But it's not just the work.
Well, Dr. Jerry Miller said that the key thing for a disaster relief person, mental health counselor, was you need to bring calm and encouragement. We're going to make it. You don't need to be running around like a chicken with your head off. You need to stay calm. Jesus is in the bottom of the ship. He's asleep. His disciples come out. Hey, Master. We're dying, man. Sea storm, the waves coming over the ship, man. We're all going to die. Don't you like those guys? I'm here lost in space. I'm really dating myself. You know, and that one guy, he was always, we're going to die. We're all going to die. I mean, that's the last thing you need to be doing in a disaster. Those who know their gods display strength and take action. That's it, Daniel. If you know God, you're not going to sit around, what are we going to do? You inquire of God, he speaks to you, you obey, you do it. You save people, you save your life, you save other people's lives.
Jeff, I'll tell you one more thing. My babies, grandbabies are with me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Superbook. And when you watch that Superbook, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and when you watch Daniel, and when you watch David, and when you watch all these men, that all they could do was stand for their God, and they would die, and they stood for their God.
Right.
I mean, even just me watching it over and over with them, it just puts it in me more and more.
Right.
That our strength is in the Lord.
Yeah.
And those are not natural disasters. Those are man. Those are people on the attack against Christians. So this is a great preparation for them.
Well, my favorite prepper was Joseph. He said, man, there's a bad time's coming. 7 years. Pharaoh says, who can do this? I don't know if anybody can do this but you. He did it. He ding-donging me there. All right, Mike closes in prayer.
All right. Well, thank you for the love and life you've given us, Lord.
Yes.
For preparing the way.
Amen.
Thank you for your Holy Spirit that comes inside of us, Lord, and prepares us for all things and gives us that peace, Lord God, that helps us understand, that makes us thirsty, and makes us hungry for your righteousness.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
All in you. And we know no matter what, Lord, if it takes our last breath, our first breath will be taken automatically.
Thank you, Lord.
We love you and we praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. Yeah.